Hey guys, I absolutely love that you're checking out and listening to the podcast. And I only have one ask quickly, and that would be if you could please share this podcast with somebody else that you maybe know that is going through the system or struggling to navigate it from the youth soccer perspective. And that would mean the absolute world to me because, as you know, I don't sell anything through the podcast and I don't have any sponsorships. And the more people that I can help, that is my overall objective. So I would absolutely love if you could share this with somebody. Take the 5 seconds to do so by sending it through social media or WhatsApp or whatever way that you like to share content, and I will make sure that I continue to deliver valuable and insightful content for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Class 15 of the Obsession Beast Parent Education Level 1 course. Today we're going to be discussing why does pay to play actually exist? With the first question we need to ask is an answer. With costs rising, why is pay to play a thing? And this is a fantastic question. It has plagued plenty of people for a very long time. And today you're going to get that answer, and it's going to be relatively explained. Okay. So it starts because there's a deal between FIFA, US Soccer, and MLS. And I'm going to try and make this as quick and painless as possible. So FIFA is the governing body of all football in the world, or at least for over 200 countries. US Soccer is an affiliate of FIFA, and then obviously MLS is a league under US Soccer under FIFA. Now, there is a backdoor deal between the three of them that has basically given MLS exclusive rights in the United States to be the top Division I league in the country with no competition. So that's why it looks like this. And that has also meant that promotion and relegation is non-existent within the country, which is why when you look at our pyramid, you have MLS at the top, you have USL Championship, USL 1, USL 2, UPSL, and all these other leagues that come into this, NISA as well. And the only one that can be the top is MLS because of their deal. Now, what this means is nobody else can come and compete for that spot, and it's not under a one-tiered system that allows for long-term success and development for players with the promotion and relegation cause. And it also means that MLS and soccer in general at the pro level in this country is the biggest form of pay-to-play in the world, with an MLS franchise costing upwards and beyond $350 million just to have the rights to a team. That's not how it works in the rest of the world. In terms of promotion and relegation and getting a team from the lowest division all the way up can be earned through promotion. You can't buy your way in. The second side of that is it's, again, not a unified system. So MLS is a separate entity. USL is a separate entity. NISA is a separate entity. UPSL is a separate entity, so it's all a giant mess of leagues that aren't working together. They're actually basically fighting each other to become better than they are. And when I mean better than they are, getting to a higher ranking, but again, only MLS can be top. Nobody else can take that away from MLS because of the deal. Now, this leads to continuing, why does pay-to-play exist? Only MLS academies can receive the benefit of compensation for formation, and this basically means and gives a reason for why soccer can be free. Because what happens is when it's free and they have compensation for formation, that means you get paid for developing professional players in the simplest form possible. So if you go to basically any other powerhouse in the world, France, Spain, Germany, England, Brazil, Argentina, you pick the country, it is either free or dirt cheap. And that's because they're covering and subsidizing the cost for players to try and develop players to become a first team player to then be sold. And then when they're sold or taken to their first team, they receive financial benefit. And obviously developing a player would be cheaper than going to buy another player in most cases. So that's why academies have this, and there's a tool for compensation for formation. Now within the United States, only MLS academies can receive the benefit from compensation for formation. No other team or club can. So like, for example, my club cannot receive compensation for formation, which means we don't have a reason to make it free. The way that we receive money, like anybody else, would be pay to play. Now, here's the breakdown of training compensation. This is from Article 20 of the FIFA regulations of the status and transfer of players. And it states, training compensation shall be paid to a player's training club when a player signs his first contract as a professional, and each time a professional is transferred until the end of the calendar year of his 23rd birthday. The obligation to pay training compensation arises when the transfer takes place during or at the end of the player's contract. The
The provisions concerning training compensation are set out in Annex 4 of these regulations. So that's why, or hopefully that breaks down more of about training compensation. And again, this means the only organizations that have any reason, especially in the long term, to be free in the United States is MLS academies, because they can and will receive training compensation for developing the player and then them transferring to another club. Okay, and that's also why, like you've probably seen about the protected list. The protected list exists within each club's territory, each MLS Academy's territory, so that way another MLS club cannot come and take that player, and then typically the clubs have to try and negotiate fees to get the release. Pretty hectic and complicated, but it's all because of the training compensation that they want to have for players within their territory, even if they haven't developed them. It's a complete and utter mess and a joke, to be honest, but that's a separate conversation, which we'll dive into more in a different day with level two. Okay. So when is training compensation due? You don't need to know too much about it, but I'm just trying to explain it to you. It is due when they sign their first professional contract or each time they are transferred until the end of their calendar year of their 23rd birthday. Now, there's more that goes with this, which explains the four categories, which we're going to get to shortly anyways, and how it all dissects. Take the screenshot, read it for yourself. I don't want to go too much into this because we'll just kind of, you know, take you into a whole nother realm of how complex youth development actually is. So if you need to pause this or take a screenshot and read it yourself later, feel free to do so. Okay. Now, we do not have promotion and relegation. Instead, we have the highest form in the world of pay to play that has ever existed with MLS franchises. Like I mentioned previously, they're well over $350 million for a single franchise. And that's just to buy into play, aka pay to play. This does not include like staff costs, player costs, facility costs. Any other operating expense it doesn't count for, this is just the franchise fee. Now, like I mentioned previously, there are no incentives in the United States to develop players, which is why 99.9% of clubs are just business and they only care about parents that are paying for the service. And what you'll see happen a lot of times is clubs will load players on teams. So the max roster size, for example, of 77 is 12 players. But you'll see teams with 12, 13, or 14 players at that age group, because they're trying to load as many players, which means they make more money per team than having less players. That's why I'm saying 99.9% of clubs are just business and they try to maximize rosters to increase their revenue and eventually their profit. Now, hopefully that makes sense. And if you look at 99, the maximum roster size is 14 players, but you'll see teams with like 14, 15, 16. I've even heard of 11v11 teams in pay-to-play having 26 players, and that's parents, 26 parents paying for one team the same fee. It's crazy, and it's just about business. Now, what everyone feels to realize is that there is no incentive for shit to be free or cheap, and this is actually a tweet I put out. Let me say that again. There's no incentive for youth soccer and probably any sport in this country to be cheap or free, and to kind of highlight why, I have a LLC and a nonprofit. My nonprofit last season in 2022-2023 provided 96 soccer players to play for free two times a week. And we got zero benefit other than goodwill helping kids play soccer. Like, that's it. Like, we don't get anything out of this. We spend our own money to help kids play soccer for free. And the only benefit we got was goodwill helping kids play soccer for free. That's why pay-to-play really does exist. Okay, let's look at this example with Jude Bellingham, who played or was developed by Birmingham City in England and eventually got to Real Madrid. Now, there's a couple of steps in between which I'm going to explain. So, Birmingham City developed Jude Bellingham. So, I don't know what year he got to the academy, but he was here for a number of years, joined the first team at 16 years old, signed a pro contract, and then 2 years later got signed by Borussia Dortmund in Germany for X number fee. I don't remember what it was. Anyways, basically 2 years later, Real Madrid comes calling and probably a bunch of other clubs. Real Madrid paid a transfer fee of $115 million for him. So a 20-year-old going for $115 million. Now, Birmingham City received a $6 million payout for developing Jude Bellingham under the training compensation and solidarity payment because of how big the transfer fee was. It's crazy that they received a $6 million fee just for developing this kid. And it highlights the fact what you're going to see shortly about the categories of clubs. And the longer that a player is in a club, the more money that they can receive for compensation for formation, which will be explained in a little bit more detail shortly. But I don't want to overwhelm you. But just understand that this is why if you go to any other major player in the world, again, big countries, the academies at the big clubs are free because they will receive money financially for developing players to their first team. It's cheaper anyways. But then when somebody comes and buys them, they either receive training compensation and or salary payments for their development. Now, looking at the four categories of compensation for formation, there's category one, category two, category three, and category four. So you can see here we have the confederations, AFC, CAF, CONCACAF, CONMEBOL, OFC, and UEFA. And there's category one through four. Only CONMEBOL and UEFA can receive compensation for formation as a category one club, if they are a category one club, which is $90,000 for UEFA and $50,000 for CONMEBOL. And that means UEFA gets the longest greater benefit of training compensation, but CONMEBOL still gets it. And then you can see category twos, category three, category four. So if you need to, take a screenshot or pause this recording and kind of review this and see it for yourself. Just because a club is in one of those confederations doesn't mean they qualify as a category one club. There's a lot of things that go into that to count to what you categorize as, but it's all about your infrastructure and level of play and staffing. So whatever fit they are. So like, for example, Birmingham City was probably a category two club, not a category one because they're not a Premier League club. I could be wrong, but they were probably a category two club. Okay, so the reason for the mess of youth soccer can be explained by one simple measure. Money, and I wish I had like money that I could just go like this, but it's all because money reigns supreme in this country. Every big club knows that. They're trying to maximize their revenue, which will eventually maximize their profit. And that's why that's such a big game about money. And this will hopefully explain it to you in greater detail. We do not have a unified system, and we probably will not until after my passing. There's so many things that need to change for this to actually become unified. And just to summarize this real quick, and this should help explain it even in further detail, there are at least 8 governing bodies in the United States who can issue a player card. Now, if you go to Europe and go to France or Spain or England, it's one system that can register a player. Okay? We have 8. So in Florida, we have USYS, which is FYSA. We have US Club Soccer. We have SAY Soccer. We have USSSA. We have UPSL. We have, you could do, I think, AYSO, and so on and so forth. There's a bunch of governing bodies that can issue a player card. So a player could have one player card per category in this country. In other countries, that is not possible. Okay, now answer this question for yourself. Does any major footballing country in the world outside of the United States, and I don't consider us a major football country yet, use GOT Soccer or GOT Sport? And on top of that, do they have GOT Soccer points and rankings? And the answer to that would be no. GOT Soccer points and rankings is literally a marketing scheme to make parents feel important about why their kids are paying to play. So you'll see teams that are ranked number 5 in the state of Florida. They're ranked number 15 in the region and number 25 in the country. And parents will go ballistic for this because their child is ranked high. Now, this is not transferred to any other part of the world with GOT Sport or GOT Soccer. It's literally just a marketing scheme to make parents feel important about their children and their club and their team. Okay. Now, I actually put this out as a tweet, and it says, parents pay for club soccer to see their children win. They do not pay to see their child lose. Big clubs, what I like to call cash cows, know this. They love you parents that are like that. They don't have to offer good training. They don't have to offer development. They don't have to offer a process. As long as they provide you a win, parents are happy. And this is 97% of parents. Okay, let's get to my recommendations with the following. Hopefully this class made a lot of sense as why pay-to-play exists, because especially our pro level is pay to play, so it trickles down effect. And then of course with MLS academies, or MLS in general, restricting that they're the only organizations that can benefit from compensation for formation, the rest of the country cannot. They're the only ones that receive that benefit. And that is a monopoly, okay? So my recommendations are the following. Make sure, again, to determine value when selecting an organization or team. And this is why it's so important to use your youth soccer value calculator. Remember that more than likely the goal of the organization is dollar bills first, unless you found a coach or an organization that truly cares about development. Like for example, our organization, we strive on player development. We do use pay to play. So we try to go against the grain. Not everybody will do that. But that's why I always recommend smaller organizations, because smaller clubs, if they don't develop, they will crash and burn because they won't be able to exist. Major clubs don't have that same issue. FIFA, MLS, and US Soccer have a backdoor deal stopping everyone from using compensation for formation and restricting anybody else from becoming an MLS club without paying to play. And we finalize this with, we do not have a unified system and there are 8 governing bodies capable of issuing player cards. Again, this is just to highlight why our country does not have long-term development, because it's not about development, it's about pay to play. And that is stopping the long-term growth of the game. Hopefully that makes sense. I will see you guys in class number 16 momentarily. Let's get to work.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying the podcast and finding valuable information from it. Now, I do have a quick ask of you, and that would be to make sure to follow me on all social media platforms like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, which is at Kyle C. Wilson Official, and on Twitter, which is the Kyle C. Wilson. And if you could help me do that, that would continue to help reinforce the ideas that I want to continue producing content specifically made for you guys to help educate you. And as always, you know I'm there to help, as I have $23,195 worth of content available for free through my YouTube channel that will answer and help a lot of the problems that you're going through, or at least your child's going through. So if you haven't found that yet, go to the YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode.